is it's a my name is graven in his hand.
Oh, thank you for being with me.
The book of Joel. We need revival. We need revival. We need to have the attitude that it's revival or die. Yeah. We need to be desperate. We need to think of our people, ourselves, our church on in the stick unit of the hospital with all the doctors around the bed telling you unless a miracle takes place, there is no hope. And then all the family gathers up and comes together and pleads for God to intervene because there's no hope. That's where we need to be tonight. That's where we need to be about revival. That we come together as a family pleading with God because there is no hope without Christ. Huh? Now, I've done been there with loved ones. I know what the feeling is when it's our loved ones in the hospital and when the doctors shake their head. I've been there more than once. I've done been there with families of where the cries and the tears and the brokenness was heard through the hospital halls. I've been in the hospitals when the nurses have come and gathered up the families and put them in a room because of the wailing and the anguish that was going forth from the brokenness of the situation. The despair, the hurt, the tears, where the heaviness was so real in the hospital itself because of no hope. That's what we need tonight for revival. We've seen great meetings. I've seen great meetings down through the years. I've seen things in church that none of y'all have seen. Maybe one or two have seen. But I've seen some things that y'all have not even seen. I've seen the way I have seen, I wasn't preaching, but I was raised up in it, where the miracles and things would happen through church that you hear about, read about, but God intervened. But even with that, I've not seen revival. Even with that, I've not seen true revival. I've not seen true revival where the church was changed so much that the community changed. I've seen churches change. I've seen individuals change. But I've never seen a revival where the community changed. Are you hearing me? That's what we need tonight. We need a personal revival. But we need a church revival. We need a revival in the body of believers that assemble here. That's what we need. And it takes everybody. It takes everybody. So that's what we're going to look at tonight. Just real simple. We're going to let the scripture speak to us and see what it says to us. All right? Everybody all right? Let's pray together. Father, we call on you tonight. Because you are the great God. I call on you out of need. I call on you tonight out of despair. Because I can't, but you can. I'm helpless. Our people are helpless. The ones that are here are helpless. The ones that are not here are helpless. There's discouragements. There's problems. There's issues. There's situations in all of our lives. There's heartaches and sorrow and sadness in all of our lives. There's mistakes and regrets in all of our lives. these sins that we can't fix and change, where we have to endure the result of disobedience. There's no way out, just to endure it and depend on your grace and mercy. That's all we can do. But I'm glad, as this has been said, you're just abiding faithful. So we can trust you tonight. But oh God, if you would just please send revival. Lord, if you would move upon us in such a way that we'll come to you in the way we're supposed to come to you, and let you revive our heart. I pray, oh God, tonight, that it'll start now, that it won't wait till the 29th of this month. But Lord, it'll start tonight in our mind and in our heart. Oh God, I pray for revival. I pray, oh God, that you will do a work, that the community stands back and says, wow, what a God is this. Search me, cleanse me, forgive me, oh God, I pray. And I'll thank you in Jesus' name. I ask all this, and amen. Let's look at Joel as we think about Joel, and we're not going to, I understand the context of the whole book is concerning the last days and everything. I understand that. But we're going to take an application out of the Scripture tonight, not out of context, but an application out of the Scripture. Is everybody with me? All right, we're not trying to put something in the Scripture, but we can sure apply this to the need of revival. And let's look at it in Joel chapter 1 just to start with. And we're trying to look at the need. See, I believe we need revival. I believe we need revival to start with down at the house. I believe we need revival down at our house. I believe husbands and wives need revival amongst themselves, that the love one for another is rekindled and the fire burns like it did when they courted, when they couldn't live without one another. Because we got people today that's living, they can't live with one another. We need to get back to the attitude that we can't live without one another. Does everybody understand that? There's a big difference there. Huh? See, Alright? We need a revival in our church. We need a revival where we love one another. Does everybody hear that? We need a revival where we love one another. Let me give you some wonderful advice. Don't love me tonight for what you want me to be. Love me for what I am. Because I'm never going to be what you want me to be. You're never going to be what I want you to be. So I'm going to have to love you like you are. Completely. Everybody understand that? We need revival in our church that we love one another. Regardless. That we love one another when we're right. And we love one another when we're wrong.
That's right.
That we love one another when it don't make sense.
Yep.
Everybody understand that? Well, can I tell you, it don't make sense to love one another anyhow. You know that? We're so full of faults and failures and we're always looking for the perfected one to love. That's why it's easy to love these kids. We don't have no problem loving these kids. Now, some of them mean a sin, but you can't help but love these kids. You know why? Because they're kids. And they act like kids. You know what? Some of them just now, they're getting to where they have no brain, and they know it. You know, up until you're 12, you don't know you have a brain. And then when you're 12, you realize you don't have one. But you don't comprehend all of it. Correct, guys? Okay. So what do? You watch them fumble and fiddle around and clumsy and look at you blank. How many of our young people do we talk to and they... Huh? True or not? And what do? You just want to, sometimes you want to pinch your heads off, yeah. Don't you, moms and dads? But really, you just say to you, they're so sweet. They're so sweet. They're so dumb, but they're so sweet. Why can't we do everybody like that? Why can't we just love everybody the same way? Why can't we just take everybody the same way? Huh? Because we're all kids. We're all children of God. And none of us have matured. Even the Apostle Paul said, I've not arrived yet. He ain't made it yet. And the greatest Christian we read about said he had not attained yet. Huh? He has now, but he wasn't when he wrote the scripture. We all right with that? Well, okay, that's where we need revival. We know we need revival in our community. Our community is going to hell. Our community is going to hell just as fast as it can go. Huh? Our community is in sad shape. I love where we live. I love Nicholas County. I love it. But Nicholas County is going to hell in a handbasket. Just as fast as we can look at it. It is. Now, I know other counties are too, but I don't live there. I live in Nicholas County. And I'm burdened over Nicholas County. Are you hearing me? I'm burdened over our church. I'm burdened over our homes. Huh? And we know, God knows we need revival in our country. I mean, that goes without saying. But it's going to have to start somewhere. I tell us this every year. We can't depend on other churches. It's not because they fail. It's just we can't depend. We got to have that attitude that if we don't come where God's at, then it's not going to happen. We've got to be desperate. Is everybody following? We've got to be desperate when it comes to revival. When it comes to our people getting right with God, we need to be desperate, depending upon God, that we can't go another day. Huh? That we can't go. I told you the story years ago. And there used to be a Charlie Gwynn around here, but this is not the Charlie Gwynn it was. This is another Charlie Gwynn. It was not from Nicholas County. But anyway, Charlie Gwynn was not a saved man. And his wife was a Christian. And she prayed for him for years to be saved. She went to church, and an evangelist had been there preaching revival. And when church was over, she went, he's back at the door shaking hands, and she said, would you pray for my husband? He's lost. Would you pray for him tonight? He said, do you pray for him every night? She said, well, I pray for him. He said, you pray for him all night? Have you ever prayed for him all night? She said, no. He said, I ain't praying for him either then. That'd be pretty blunt. It'd be pretty hard for the preacher to say, if you ain't going to pray for him all night, I ain't praying for him. Well, she got mad. Like most people would have got mad. She went home, she got to studying about it. And she said, you know, I've asked everybody to pray for him. But I've not spent all night praying for him. She got on her face before God there in the living room and started calling on God, praying for Charlie to get saved. Charlie was a brakeman on the railroad. And he got the feeling that something wasn't right at home. So he asked the conductor, he said, can you stop up there at the phone that's on the line? He said, I got to call home. There's a problem. He tried to call home, there was no answer. And he said, you got to get me to that. There's something wrong. I got to get home. This is a true story. Some way got him a ride. They got him to his car. He got home. He got home quick as he could. He went and started through the door. And there was his wife, head and face over in the couch, weeping, just wailing. I mean, just a death cry. And he went, "What's going on?" And he called their son's name, said, "Something happened to him. What's going on?" She looked, she said, "I realized you was lost. For the first time, I really realized you was lost. And I've been praying that God would save you tonight, Charlie." And he said, "Is it that serious?" He said, "It's that serious." He said, "Well, call the preacher." They called the preacher, and the preacher, the pastor come. And after a little while, Charlie got saved. Now, Charlie didn't get saved just because the wife prayed. But because the wife got serious enough to be desperate, that Charlie understood the desperate situation he was in. And I'm persuaded tonight that we understand people are lost. We understand there's a hell, and we believe all that. But I don't know that we're desperate. I don't know that we're desperate. When Philip was in a hospital, I was desperate. My daddy was in a hospital. Loved my daddy. I didn't want to see my daddy die. We was desperate. Wasn't ashamed to pray in the middle of the hallways of the hospital at Charleston when Philip was there. Wasn't ashamed to pray in the middle of the hospital at Raleigh General when my dad was there. When my papa was in Alba, we were desperate. I've had love when Daryl was bad, when Mama was bad. We were desperate. We was wanting God to intervene in some way. Can I tell you tonight, I don't know that we're desperate for revival. We're not desperate for the presence of God. We're not desperate for the move of God. If it comes, wonderful. We'd love to see it, yes, but we're not desperate for it. Huh? John Knox, the famous preacher from Scotland, said, "Give me Scotland or I die." He wanted a whole country. Just die. If I can't have the country, if I can't see him say, "Let me die." Did not Rebecca say the same thing in the scripture? "Give me a son or lest I die." They were desperate. But there's no desperation in our praying. I'm not judging nobody's praying, but I hear you pray. There's no desperation in the prayers. Is there desperation in your heart? See, we need revival. Are you following me tonight? Look at Joel chapter 1, verse 12. It says the vine is dried up. Can I get an amen right there? The vine is dried up, and the fig tree languisheth. The pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree, even all the trees of the field are withered. Why are they withered? It says, because joy is withered away from the sons of men. Can you understand there's a need for revival? Because the joy is withered away from the sons of men. And trees are withered. Listen, we're withered up. We're withered up on the inside. Huh? Jump down to verse 14. Here's the call to do something about it. Sanctify ye a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God. And what? Cry unto the Lord. Huh? Drop down verse 16. Is not the meat cut off before our eyes? Yea, joy and gladness from the house of our God? Is not joy and gladness cut off from the house of our God? If there's not a good scripture for a needy revival, I don't know of any better right there that fits us tonight. And it ain't just us. It's churches all over. I was talking to a preacher just here recently, and he's been trying to get a family, and we'll show you the attitude of churches all around, and God help us not to ever have that ourselves. He was trying to get this couple in church, and they live next to a church. And he called that church and said, "Can you reach out to them?" They said, "No, they're not our kind of people." Oh. They're not our kind of people. No, we're not going to do it. See, it ain't just our church that needs revival. It's churches in general. It's the body of Christ that needs revival. And this is just a part of it. Huh? Are we still okay understanding what I'm trying to say when it comes to revival? Turn over to chapter 2. And let's start at verse 12. And I'm going to read down through verse 17. Then we'll go back and look at it and I'll let you go. Joel chapter 2. Let's start at verse 12. Excuse me. Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God. For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth out of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Let the priest, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? That's what we want to preach from tonight and see if we can't find the desperate plea for revival. You want a title tonight? It's the desperate plea for revival. Are you hearing me tonight? Yeah. Desperately, well, let's go back and look, verse 12. It says, therefore also now, the desperate plea, when do we need revival? Well, March the 29th is when we're, no. We need revival on March the 8th on the ninth service in Mountain State Baptist Church, where if the whole world turns away from God, we need revival right here in the midst of the people that's right here tonight. Now, right now, is when we need revival. Therefore also now, saith who? Saith the Lord. And what's he say to do? Turn ye. Turn ye. The desperate cry for revival starts in the heart of God, in the mouth of God, in the mind of God. When he says you need revival now, turn ye. He's telling us to turn. This ain't just Joel talking here. Huh? This is just that the Lord, and Joel will talk here in a minute, but it's the Lord talking. It says, therefore also now, saith who? The Lord. Turn ye. Turn ye where? Even to me. How do we turn? With all your heart. Is that what it says? Yes. Turn unto me with all your heart. Not just with your, but with fasting. Prove it. Prove it with fasting. Fasting, to sum it all up, if you fast, it ain't just doing without food. What it is bringing your flesh into subjection to the Spirit. That's what fasting is. It's bringing yourself into subjection of God. Are you hearing me? He says, turn ye. Turn ye tonight with your whole heart. Bring yourself into subjection unto me. That I am Lord. That I am God. That I'm the one that's in charge. Listen, we need revival tonight. Amen. We need revival tonight. It says, turn ye even to me with all your heart, with fasting, and with weeping. It's going to have to get down, not crying, weeping. Have you ever wept? Huh? We've all cried, but have you ever wept? when your heart was tore out of you. Huh? Talk to me tonight.
Yes.
Have we ever wept when our heart was completely ripped out? That God, you got to do something. I can't go. I can't do it. We can't live. We got to have you. Huh? That's what the Lord says to do. And with mourning, the brokenness, the soul brokenness and sadness that we can't do it, that we got to have God. That's God's cry for us to have revival. Do you see that tonight? That ain't man calling on God. That's God calling on people. Surely we can agree with God to have revival. Huh? Verse 13 says, rend your heart, not your garment. Rend on the inside, not the outside. Huh? Rend the inside. Everybody follow me? Don't get a little emotional stir. Huh? God is not interested in our emotional stirs. He's interested in our heart being torn completely apart. That's why the Scripture goes through and says to break up your fallow ground, revive the work, stir up the gift that's in you. There's a moving on the inside, a breaking of the inside, a changing of the inside. All the Scriptures throughout run together. Are you hearing me tonight? Rend your heart, not your garments, and turn to the Lord your God. He is our God, ain't He?
Yes.
Is He our God? Yes. He my God, is He your God? Yes. Look what He says. Why do we need to look to Him? For He's gracious. Boy, ain't He though?
Yes.
And He's merciful.
Yes.
Boy, ain't He though? He's slow to anger. Listen, if we ain't already proved He's slow to anger, we're proving Him now. Huh?
That's right.
Think about that. And of great kindness.
Oh, yes.
Everybody look at me tonight. Has He been kind to you?
Yes.
Has He been kind to you? Boy, He's been awful kind to me. I know that. He's been awful gracious to me. He's been awful merciful to me. Boy, He's been awful patient, slow to anger. He sure has been patient with me. Huh?
Thank you.
Verse 14 then. We need revival. Huh? What revival really is coming to Him. We understand that. But here's the hope in having revival. Verse 14 says, who knoweth? Huh? Who knoweth? Maybe he'll go ahead and change his mind and give us one. Maybe instead of killing us, he'll scream, give us revival. Who knows? Maybe he'll go ahead and answer them prayers. Maybe, who knows? Maybe he'll go ahead and just bring them ones in that we've been praying for and waiting on for so long. Maybe, who knows, if we go ahead and turn our whole heart to God and mourn and we're broken and do what He says there in verse 12 and 13, who knows, maybe He'll just go ahead and open up heaven and come down, stand right down the middle of all of us. Who knows, evil might not do that, huh? That'd be wonderful if He would. Who knows, He will return and repent. And look what it says, and leave a blessing behind. You know what that's talking about? That's talking about there, you know, after the locusts go through and devour the land. That's talking about last days and everything. What's that? How you understand what it's meaning? After them locusts go through, He said, who knows, maybe he'll let them locusts leave me a stalk of corn somewhere. Or a handful of barley, a handful of wheat, and they won't eat nothing. I'll have a little blessing left behind. Who knows that He won't be merciful to me and not make everything a desolation? Are you listening? That's what that scripture means. It's for revival. Who knows He won't let us stay dried up? Who knows He won't let us stay withered? Huh? I believe He will tonight. I believe He'll help us. Huh? even a meat offering, a drink offering to the Lord, that there'll be something left over that we can give Him. Huh? Who knows? You reckon He's that kind? Look at me tonight. You reckon He's that kind and merciful and gracious and patient that He won't do that? But we got to come His way. How many times are we going to hear it down through the years of what brings revival and what gets us close? But we don't ever want to go that way. We want to do it our own way. Huh? We need God. And we need to be desperate about it. Verse 15 then says, blow the trumpet in Zion. Blow the trumpet. That blowing the trumpet in Zion was to get everybody's attention and to bring them into one place. When they blew the trumpet in the camp, they didn't just say, oh, somebody's playing a horn. No, that trumpet was blown for assembly, for everybody to come to one place. Can I tell you tonight, Mountain State Baptist Church needs everybody that belongs to Mountain State Church to come into one place for one cause, for one reason, for one Christ, to see one thing happen, and that's God to visit amongst us tonight.
Amen.
And I'm trying my best to blow the trumpet.
Amen.
That we might do this very thing. Huh? Are you hearing me tonight? And it says, sanctify fast. Set apart your flesh. And call a solemn assembly. I'm not telling you to come shouting the praise of God. I'm telling you to come together broken.
Amen.
Huh? Years ago, I was been helping my pastor in a revival, just driving him. Sometimes I would drive him. Me and Joe Schaefer would drive Chick around. Sometimes he'd preach revival, and we'd go with him. And he was holding revival for Cleve Allen over in West Raleigh, over in Raleigh, on the other side of Beckley, in Raleigh Hill, where Cleve pastored. And I didn't get to go this particular night. I think Joe went with him. But anyway, they done went a week, a revival. And they got a quartet coming there on Monday, the second week. And the quartet came in there and started scolding the church because they weren't shouting. You know how come sometimes singers, instead of singing, they want to talk and preach? If you sing, you ought to sing, let the preacher preach. But nevertheless, kind of scolded the church, and Chick was sometimes fairly plain. And he sat there, and when it come time to him to come up to the pulpit, he said, you could always tell when he was irritated. Sometimes he would call you guys. Sometimes when he said you birds, he was in the flesh. Usually but he called the people you birds, but nevertheless, that's what he had said that night. You birds come in here and sing. He said, we've been trying to preach a week to get the church under burden revival, and then you want us to shout. It's not time to shout. It's time to weep. And after he got done preaching, two of the men in that four-man quartet got saved. They weren't even Christians. See, it's not the feast to come and shout. Are you understanding me? I'm not asking you to come to church and shout and hold up your hands and holler. I'm asking you to come together broken and mourning and weeping and repenting and being clean with God and breaking up the fallow ground that's in our heart and calling on God to return the joy that's withered and dried up amongst us. Are you understanding me tonight? There's a vast difference. There'll be time for shouting. Does not the Scripture say, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning? But there's got to be weeping first. Does not the Bible say, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come with rejoicing, bringing his seeds with him? And they have sown tears for weeping. Do y'all know the Scripture I'm talking about? Huh? But the weeping's got to come first. We don't weep. We're not broken. We're not solemn. We're solemn. Yeah, we're solemn, but it ain't because we're broke up over things. We're solemn because there's no joy. Huh? Have you been around people and you wondered what all they eat to make them so upset? Because they was the sire. Have you? I mean, they were just sire. Look around. Look around the church tonight. We're sire. Amen, preacher. Verse 15, blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Now look what verse 16 says. Gather the people. Sanctify who? Assemble the elders. Well, let's stop right there. Some of us older ones, we're going to have to change. Some of us older ones are going to have to show the younger ones how to get under a load. Because we've forgotten to do it ourselves. You hearing me tonight? It says to call the whole congregation, didn't say, but call the elders. The elders of the church. That's us tonight. That's us older ones. If we're not careful, that's all that's going to be left. Huh? Let me ask you. Has anybody seen something close to revival? Any of you old ones? Anybody here over 50 seen something close? There's a hand. Anybody else? 1, 2, 3, 4. We've seen some things close. We need to be leading this thing. Are you hearing me? We all right? Assemble the elders. And then look what it says. Young people, gather the children. I'm praying you kids get introduced to the Holy Ghost. Yeah. You boys. You mighty men, I love you. I think you're top of the pole. But I don't believe you understand the Lord. You young girls, y'all sang talented, y'all sung, y'all done a wonderful job. Sing good song. Move my heart. But I'm praying that you have an experience with the Holy Ghost that changes your mind and your heart. It ain't happened yet. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? Young people, Jonathan, it ain't happened yet. The Greek squad. It'll almost. We're back on. It'll almost get on some of us. We're back off. Because if the Holy Ghost in control, that means I ain't. When it says to gather the children, that means the children are just as responsible as the elders. He goes on down and says, and those that suck the breast, even the little kids, ain't nobody supposed to be left out. Right. Nobody's supposed to be left out. Is that what it says? So important, so desperate that the bridegroom don't go in the chamber where his bride's at. That's pretty serious. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When they get married and we ain't got time for a honeymoon, we got to meet with the Lord. That's pretty serious, ain't it? Talk to me. Huh? He said, let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. You see how desperate this is tonight? Verse verse 17. Let the priest, the ministers of the Lord. That's me, and Rick, and Dennis, Jason, Greg, Matt, R.C., J-Rod, Austin. That's what we be, ain't it? We be ministers of the Word.
Amen.
Talk to me, guys.
Amen,
where are we at in this? Let the priest, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say what? Spare thy people. Are we calling on God? Asking God to spare our people? Oh, I whisper, but I ain't talking about whispering a prayer. It's that call them in front of everybody and have them call out to God. Spare our people. We that minister the Word. We're the ones going to be accountable. I'm the pastor, but we're the ministers of the Word. We're accountable. We're supposed to be careful how we handle this book. Supposed to be careful how we handle this scripture. This ain't just any old book. This is the holy Word of God. It's the precious, preserved, holy Word spoken by an almighty God I got in my hand tonight. And I'm responsible for every word in it. Huh? But I'm responsible for you getting it to you. So what if you don't listen? That ain't what the Buck told me to do. He told me to preach it. He didn't tell me to make you comprehend it. He didn't tell me to make you hear it and listen. He told me to preach it to you. Huh? And I'm a minister of the Word. And so is you guys that I just named your names. Huh? Are you hearing me? That's what the Scripture is saying. I'm just applying tonight. All right? You believe it or not? Let the priest, verse 7-8, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare thy people, O Lord. And give not thine heritage to reproach that the heathen should rule over them. Spare them, Lord, that the enemy, that the heathen don't say, where's their God? God help us, Mountain State Church. God help us, ministers of the Word, that the world looks around and says, where's their God at? They're telling us they're serving one. Where's he at? God help us. We need to see that and have a desperate cry for revival tonight. Are you hearing me? Let's go down to verse 18. If all that takes place, then will the Lord be jealous for his land. And what's it say? It pities people. Look at the next phrase. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and ye shall be satisfied therewith. And I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. Father, oh God, we need revival. Spare our people, oh God. Spare our people, oh God. Lord, for some there's chastisement coming. For some, it's going to be a tough price. They walked away. For some, oh God, our people are lost. They're going to go to hell. Oh God, I pray for mercy. Spare our people. For the generations to come, they're not going to have nothing, oh God, unless something changes. God, I pray for the little ones. I pray for the children. I pray for the ones that are babies that get stuck yet. Lord, I pray for them. I pray for the elders. Oh, God, tonight,
Help me to understand. Without you, we're not going to have nothing. God, give us revival. Oh, God, give us revival. Give our church revival. Give us a revival in our home. Give us a revival in our church. Give us a revival in our community, God. God, I pray that I might love Cheryl more than I've ever loved her. I pray she might love me more than she's ever loved me. God, I pray I might love my kids, my grandkids, more than I've ever loved them. Revive my heart, oh God. Revive my heart to love these people in this building. People who come to church here, oh God. Stir my heart. Give me revival, God. Give me revival. I got to have it, God. I don't want to live. If you don't give me revival, take me away from here, God. I don't want to go through the motions. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to claim how big you are and not follow you. I don't want to do it, God. Just move me out of the way, I pray. Give us revival, I'm asking. In Jesus' name, amen.